I don't know, dude. You sound pretty great to me.
Thank you, man.
I don't know. You are listening to WVT-FM, the greatest radio station in the world right now. This is the Kaiser's Court, a very special installment of the Kaiser's Court. With me is my good friend and blues guitar aficionado, Matthew Taylor. And we want to dedicate a portion of the show to serve as a tribute to the late, great Gary Moore, who has not only influenced Matt as a guitar player, but he's influenced my life in such a big way. Like, how has Gary made an impact on you?
Man, dude, the first time I heard Gary Moore play, I'll never forget. It was just the speed, you know, the tone, and, you know, the guy had a great voice as well, you know, to be from Ireland, you know, from Europe, and to be so proficient at, you know, such an American style of music, you know, as blues with its origins in America. You know, the British do their own thing with that hard rock sound, but Gary Moore was definitely in a class of his own, you know, with his speed, you know, his
guitar playing has, like, in pretty much influenced me. I just sound like a bad version of him, honestly. Like, I've tried, there are so many things that in my guitar playing that I try to learn from Gary Moore, and, like, he was so talented. Like, he wasn't just so proficient in blues, he was also amazing at rock, metal, he was in jazz fusion, he could play classical, like, he could do a lot of different things. And the way that I discovered Gary Moore, because he not a lot of people knew who he was around the 80s and 90s, but he was the musician's musician. Like, if you were a guitar player during that time, you knew who Gary Moore was, because he was in all the guitar magazines. Like, no, he was an incredible talent.
And the feel he had was just amazing.
I know, like, when the first album I ever bought was Thin Lizzy's Black Rose, which had Gary Moore along with Scott Gorham on lead guitar, and I still got the blues, which was when his comeback album, when he started doing blues music again, because before that he was doing mostly hard rock music, which, like, I think you should still check out. Like, his hard rock stuff is still really good, but still got the blues. That was the first album that a friend got me as a gift. Like, my friend Jasmine, who was in high school, we had chemistry class together, and her favorite band was Iron Maiden, and so we just talked about music for hours on end. And she was at a flea market one day, and she saw the Still Got the Blues CD, and it cost a couple bucks, and then, like, she gave
find.
It to me. Oh, yeah, like, yeah, a great find.
Great
for,
find.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I have it right here. Like, we're going to be playing one of the songs off of it. Here is Oh Pretty Woman by Gary Moore, the late, great Gary Moore. And
you've got in me.
WEVT would like to remind you not to drink and drive. It doesn't matter if you've had one drink or 10, or if you're driving 100 miles or just one. Alcohol impairs your motor coordination, and if you get behind the wheel under the influence, you can kill yourself or somebody else. So, tell yourself and everyone else, and do everybody a favor, just make sure you don't drink and drive while under the influence of alcohol.
Thank you for that PSA, Matt. So, we've been talking about the blues jam that we've been going to like last month. And I wanted to ask like more along the lines of that question of like you playing live. So, who was the best musician that you think you've played with so far?
Oh, wow. That is a great question. Man, just so many guys come to mind.
Like you've played with the guys from Blues Hammer, local. Are they from Norfolk?
So many, yeah. So they're a blues band. Yep,
they're a local Virginia Norfolk Beach. blues band. Like they've been operating for the past few years. They made a new album last year.
They're a Tidewater based blues band. Yeah, check it out. Check out their self titled album on Blues Hammer. It's very good. Stream it on Spotify, Apple Music. It's just Blues Hammer with a Z, BLUZ Hammer. Yeah, it's good. But yeah, those guys are incredible musicians. Rob Cross is he's one of the best drummers I've ever played with. He's a blues guy. He's based out of Virginia Beach. But I'd have to say, as far as the best, you know, musician, I've ever played with, one guy comes to mind. His name is my good buddy Luke Walls. I've played with him in, never in a band, but, we've played together in church, and, man, this guy is like the epitome, you know, of what it means to be a musician. You know, he's got great pitch. He was a drummer, you know, at first growing up, but you know, this guy can sing. He learned to play keys. I mean, this guy, he produces, and you know, as far as musicality goes, you know, he's at the top of my list for sure. Definitely a guy I've always looked up to, you know, and a great friend of mine as well. So, you know, I think he's probably up there.
That's amazing that you've been able to make so many good friends. And,
yeah,
like, through music. Like it's just such a way to bring people together. Mm-hmm. I love the blues scene, especially in Norfolk and Chesapeake. Yeah, so at the Big Ugly Brewing, we met a lot of great people there. And so that brings to my next question. What was your craziest gig altercation? Because I remember last month in December when you were starting to set up your rig, the one of the guitar players from Blues Hammer. You know, why don't you tell the story, actually?
it wasn't even an altercation. It was just more so like just a little just something funny that had happened. It was just during the setup of the blues jam, you know. I think I was just getting in somebody's way, or I don't know, maybe making some noise where I shouldn't have been, and you know, one of the guitarists at the blues jam, you know, was just sort of like, hey, what are you doing, you know, is this guy playing with us right now, you know. He just sort of looked to the guy who was on the stage with him while we were all setting up, and you know, he just sort of gave him a nudge, and you know, I just thought it was funny at the time, but you know, I'm sure it was all, you know, all in the name of good spirit. Yeah, and, you know, music.
I've met Paul, and he's a really nice guy.
He's a
really down to earth guy.
I think it might have been Paul. Yeah, it was my first time at the jam, so it was funny.
No, like you and I, we've met him. Like
he's a great guy.
He's a really talented musician. And speaking of talented musicians, we've got up next, we got some David Pinozzo, and I have just introduced you to David Pinozzo last month, and you have taken to already be another fan favorite.
Right, he is, you know, he is amazing, you know, for those of you that don't know who David Pinozzo is, he is an Italian blues guitarist. You know, he focuses on like modern, you know, jazzier blues, and when I tell you this guy can play, you know, he's one of those guys where you hear him and you immediately start thinking, you know, how can I steal, you know, some of these licks? Because, you know, he's just that good, you know.
So up next, we've got The Thrill Is Gone, which is, I'd say, one of the best covers of The Thrill Is Gone I've ever heard.
I think so too. David, I agree with you there. David just has a special sauce about his playing, you know, a jazzy flavor in it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's just, like I said, you know, to be someone who's, you know, Italian, playing, you know, like tunes by Buddy Guy, you know, tunes by B.B. King, you know, guys who came up, you know, over here in the States. I think that's amazing.
Mississippi Delta and Chicago.
Yeah, I think that's amazing.
It's such like a way to like break down barriers Just like yeah. not even just location. Like right. that's the power that music can do. Like right. it can connect people from all over the world.
Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful.
It's beautiful. But up next is "The Thrill Is Gone" by David Pinozzo.
Thank you. Thank you.
tonight it is, for the weather tonight, it is 36 degrees Fahrenheit. It is going to be a winter storm warning from tonight from 11 p.m. to 9 a.m. tomorrow, to February 7th. And so stay Hokies, bundle up, and stay out of the snow. So, Matt, I wanted to ask you a question that I'm not really sure I ever asked you before, mm-hmm. is that when I was playing guitar, I always felt like I knew a lot of things. Like, I knew a lot of things about the guitar, but I always had this sort of problem of putting everything together and mm-hmm. creating songs. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had that sort of guitar limbo, like where you felt like you knew all this stuff, but you didn't really know how to apply it?
Definitely. I'm at the stage of playing where I'm just always, you know, always I feel like just taking things from, you know, the music I'm listening to. Or other, you know, what I'm hearing from other musicians, and I'm just always, you know, absorbing what I'm hearing. You know, I'm just trying to, I'm at the stage where I'm basically just trying to, you know, just learn, you know, every day as much as I can. And, you know, I think as musicians, you know, that's just, you know, a job, you know, you have. You just, you know, learn and learn and learn. You know, you never stop learning, of course. There's always more you can learn. But I, as far as like being in a rut, you know, playing rut, yeah, I definitely know what that's like. Everybody, I feel like everybody, you know, no matter what musician, you know, or, you know, any walk of life, you know, any, you can get into a rut, you know, doing the same thing, you know, whether it's playing the same licks or, you know, same phrases. Yeah, so I can definitely relate to you when you know, say that.
Yeah, because I sort of took a break from guitar for over a year, mainly because I was sort of embarrassed because I was completely outclassed in one of the band practices, and I was like super excited about joining this band, mm-hmm. and it didn't work out so well, and I kind of quit for a year. But I think you're the reason that I've gotten back into it. Like, thank you,
dude. That's awesome to hear.
I wanted to jam with you for a long time, and hopefully during the next Nacho Grandma's Blues Jam, whenever that's going to be, when you host it, like, we can jam The Stumble by Freddie King. That'd just be such a great show. But so that brings me to one of the things about growing is I trying to explore new sounds, and I think I kind of take a little credit in trying to expand your music taste. So like, I mean, you also have a really good music taste as well.
Thank you. But yeah, you've definitely opened my eyes to, you know, some new, you know, tastes of, you know, some of the harder rock that I definitely wouldn't have, you know, got delved into maybe so early. You know, like, you know, Lizzy, a lot of the Thin Lizzy stuff. You know, I can give you credit for exposing me to, you know, Jason Becker's stuff, a lot of neoclassically influenced guys. You know, amazing players like that I hadn't even, you know, discovered until, you know, you had showed me them. So mm-hmm. definitely.
So have you like tried to take any sort of like, ideas from or licks from Jason Becker or anyway? Because like that, or how do you want to like, grow as an artist in any way?
That's an amazing question. First and foremost, I think anybody could take something from Jason Becker's playing. You know, he is one of the best, you know, players to ever pick up a guitar, and I think, you know, he is amazing. And secondly, as an artist, I just like to become, you know, as versatile as possible, and I would just, you know, like to strengthen, you know, my weak areas. Like, you know, I think that every musician can become better by working, you know, like on the basics. You know, my timing, you know, as a guitarist isn't the greatest, you know, in comparison to maybe a drummer or, you know, a bassist, you know, someone else who'd be playing normally in the pocket. So, you know, I'd probably, as a musician, I think the simplest answer I could give, I'd want to become rhythmically better. I'd like to, you know, get better at rhythm guitar and just become, you know, better at playing in the pocket, you know, with other musicians.
Yeah, you don't really realize how important rhythm guitar is until you actually start playing it. And like when you mess up, like exactly. people notice when you mess up. Like if you mess up a lead, like some people may not be able to notice because like you could say you're improvising, you're being jazzy or whatever. But like if you're messing up rhythm, like it's very. Like you can definitely notice that.
It's very important. Sometimes overlooked, you know, by a lot of guitarists, but you know, very important.
We got a request in, and someone called in. He said that he wanted to hear "The House Is Rockin'" by Stevie Vaughan. So thank you, and here it comes. Bye. That was Blues Hammer with Six String Hammer. WVT will be hosting an interest meeting on February 10th at 6:30 p.m. If you know someone who wants to be a DJ or just wants to be involved with WVT, this is the perfect opportunity to virtually meet the staff and learn everything about the WVT has to offer. A Zoom link will be posted on social media and the website. Hope to see you there. Now, Matt, we've got about 15 more minutes of this show, and so there are still a couple more questions I do want to ask you. Cool. And this is, like, for about your playing in general, is what is something that you wouldn't think is that important, but actually is crucial for playing guitar, or any instrument for that matter?
Good question. I think that something that people often overlook is, your just overall body position and how you hold your instrument. You definitely see some guys holding their guitars, on straps, like around, close to their knees. Some guys, like, just punk rock guitarists, wearing their guitars really low, and you see other jazz cats wearing their guitars, up at their chest level. B.B. King wore his guitar pretty high, throughout his entire career. Other guys, were kind of gunslingers, So I think that, just body position, the way that ergonomically affects, the way that you strike your instrument. I just think that's, I think that's, something that's really important that people wouldn't really pay attention to.
I know you talked about how you used to play Crash Into Me by the Dave Matthews Band, and that's been about 4 or 5 years ago. Have you ever thought about picking the acoustic guitar back up? I know, do you still have an acoustic guitar?
Yeah, so the very first guitar I ever owned actually was a Yamaha acoustic. I bought it for like $100 from Guitar Center, and I still have that guitar. I keep it in my dorm at college, and I play it, almost every day. I practice on it, but, as far as the singer-songwriter stuff, I'm not sure. I like to play and sing, every now and then, but I don't know, maybe in the future I'll, do that a little more.
It'll always be good to, have a variety. That's what John Mayer has. He was able to switch from going, the song Your Body is a Wonderland, which is very, very acoustic pop, even though it's got some, nice jazzy chord to the end, but still, it's a good, when he, later in his career, when he started to transition into more of a blues artist, and he was playing with the greats like B.B. King and Derek Trucks and Buddy Guy, you can definitely tell, this guy was the generation bridger. He was going to bring blues to the next generation of listeners.
Yeah, I just think that's really important, just to spread, that love of, that blues music, to a crowd that otherwise, wouldn't really, gravitate towards it naturally.
We've got one more song, but it's a long one. You wanna talk about it?
Yeah, so this song is really special to me. I personally think it is the best E rock riff ever written. It is, it's a masterpiece, a guitar masterpiece. Above all things, it's just a musical masterpiece. I think it is a great piece of music, and it's probably, it's in my top three favorite, songs, rock, guitar, whatever you want to say, of all time. It's amazing.
Voodoo Child's Slight Return, and this is not by Jimi Hendrix. This is by Gary Moore. This is on the Blues for Jimmy cover albums. Why this version specifically?
Great question. I think this is a great version for many reasons. It's honestly so fitting that we chose Gary's version, for honoring his 10-year of his anniversary of his death. So. But this version just encaptures everything about the Hendrix spirit that you'd want. It has, it's ferocious, it's fast, Gary Moore shreds the solo with amazing, with just spirit and soul. Yeah, he strikes the guitar with such a swagger that
no one has come since him, and that's the magic
about
him.
It's a distinct sound. He had a stage presence like no other, and he could play that guitar like no one had ever seen before. So
here is Voodoo Child's Slight Return live by Gary Moore.
Thank you.
I just don't know how he does it. Like, he's so incredible.
Rest in peace to the late, great Gary Moore, one of the greatest to ever do it.
Yes, and him and his music probably shaped the soundtrack of my latter half of high school. Like, I was just listening to Thin Lizzy nonstop. I was listening to Gary Moore nonstop. Like,
it's that Irish spirit, man.
Oh yeah. Like, I went to Ireland, actually. Thin Lizzy was, like, the Black Rose was the first album I ever bought in Dublin, Ireland, when I went there about 4 years ago for spring break. It was one of the best trips I've ever been on, and, like, I'd amazing. Love to go back. But I'd also love to go see Thin Lizzy, but it wouldn't be able to happen. But I still want to go see Black Star Riders, which is the subset group, a band that was formed during the touring of the new Thin Lizzy. So I'd like to see them. But, right. Yeah, thank you so much, Matt, for
being on
the
show. Me.
Like, hey, it was an amazing interview. Like, you were an amazing guest to have.
Thank
and
you.
I hope to have you on the show again soon.
Thank you, man. I was glad to be here. It was just awesome to be here again. You know, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Fixed to the stars.